The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. Can you do that? Can you do that for us, please? Just be entertained. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thanks for listening today.
Hey, Christy.
Hey, Michelle. You'll be proud of me because I took a yoga class a couple days ago.
You did?
For the first time in, like, I'm going to say 8 years probably.
Wow.
Because I did a lot of yoga when I lived in San Francisco, but this was the first time since it's been a while.
Uh-huh.
And it was a full hour class, and it was like, she said something like, it's just going to be easy vinyasa flow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it was pretty easy, but having not done it for so long, it was hard, and I sweated, and I felt good, and I felt great and energized afterwards and like centered, and was like, why don't I do this more often? This was so great. But that was on Monday, and it's mm-hmm. Thursday now. And ever since then, my thighs, because we did a lot of chair poses.
Yeah.
My thighs have, like, I'm used to like weightlifting and stuff, so I know what like sore muscles feel like after a bunch of lunges and stuff.
Yeah.
But this is different. They're like, it's like my muscles are vibrating.
Uh-huh.
Like I get the sensation as if I have my cell. In fact, I've looked down at my lap or thought like, is my cell phone in my pocket vibrating?
Oh, wow.
When it's not anywhere near me, but it feels like that, like a surfacey vibration that you wouldn't be able to see it if you were sitting next to me. But I'm like, my muscles, I have like yoga vibrates.
Weird.
From doing one class.
Wow.
So, which, you know, the ongoing vibrations are just reminding me that I need to do more of it because I did really have fun, but it's a really weird sensation.
Chair pose is no joke.
Yeah, no she never joke. Had us like hold it for very long, but we did enough of them, I think, that it was the equivalent
right.
of, you know, me doing 10 minutes of squats and lunges and...
Well, I was going to say, did you do like crescent lunge? Did you do warriors? Did you
yes.
hold the warriors
yes.
and the lunges?
Yes.
Yeah. All of that combined. I'm curious, what brought you back to yoga after so many years, Christy?
Here's the thing. I am like a freegan. Like if something is free or offered to me, especially if it's a experience, I'm going to take it. Like I want to always be the kind of person that says yes to things like that. And so this was it was actually a wedding planner appreciation overnight at a hotel in Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple hotels here that do that, like venues, and they like treat wedding planners to, you know, cocktails and dinner.
As they should.
Something fun at night, and then you spend the night in an awesome hotel room by yourself, which if you are a mom of small children, you know that that's like the biggest luxury to just
yeah.
be in your own hotel room. And then the next day, you know, they might have an activity, and this venue, which was the Jewel Hotel in Dallas, which is so awesome and modern and cool, they did yoga in the park the next mornings, taught by one of their instructors. So it was at 9 o'clock, and there was a bunch of wedding planners that were not there. But I was definitely like up and ready, and I had some iced coffee, and I ran out to the park and was like ready to go, and it was really fun.
Oh, that's nice. It was outside.
Yeah, and it's still fucking crazy hot here, but at 9 in the morning it was like a nice 80 degrees.
Nice. So it was like a warm yoga
yes.
room. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also very humid, you know, so all of us were pretty
Perfect.
Sweaty. There were like homeless people yelling at us and stuff. It felt very like organic.
Fun. Yeah. Good.
And urban. and I held my own. I was like, there is something to be said for muscle memory, right? Because yoga is not like new to my life. I just have been so...
You've been working
absent.
Your muscles in a different way though. And then, so
yes.
it's like, yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad it was a flow. Cause that's what I love. And that's what I teach. So are you going to take any other classes?
I think I am going to look into what's offered around here. I just can't like commute to do yoga.
You can't commute. Okay.
I can't commute. Well, I can't drive 40 minutes for a 1 hour class minutes back, to go to Dallas. But there's stuff around here.
There's got to be stuff around you. Does your gym have classes? Did they do yoga?
Yeah. You know, I just thought about that last night because I was there just working out and I need to look in their little book. And if they do, you know, I thought, it's going to be filled with like 60-year-old ladies because this is a very small town kind of feel with my gym. But mm-hmm. as I was thinking about it, I saw a class outside somebody was leading a class outside at like 7 p.m. So mm-hmm. I'd kind of rather take it in the morning, but it gave me hope that like there are options. So
cool.
So anyways, I might get back into the flow of things.
No pun intended. Flow. No, you should. And I mean, check out the one at the gym. I mean, I don't know if the teachers are any good. I don't know what your gym is like, but if not, I mean, you could even like, I mean, if you want, I mean, this is what I've done or I would do is if you really are getting into it, like put your gym on hold and just do yoga your 3 to 5 days a week. And you'll see a major difference in your body if just doing yoga.
Okay, let me ask you this since...
Wait, hold on. Don't move your microphone around because it's going to make that noise. And when I'm editing, it's going to be so annoying. Can you fix it? It's not going to be annoying, but like all of our listeners are going to hear it the whole time you're talking. Okay. Ask me.
Speaking of listeners, because yoga is so great, especially as a way to exercise and like get your body tight, but also like calm down and get in touch with yourself and meditate and all that, it hits both levels. I was thinking I would look online to see like what YouTube channels might have, you know, something that I could do at home. Do you have any recommendations about that? Or maybe we could put a link if we found a good one onto our show notes, because this is great for brides and grooms too.
I just know there's a teacher at the studio that I did my training at and that I practiced at for years. And this guy, Charles, put up a website and he has so many. He would actually wear a lapel mic in our class and he would just record himself.
Is it free?
And it's free. I mean, he asks for donations, but it's free. It's called Ouroboros Yoga. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. But it's hot. It's like power. It's flow, what you did, but it's power. So it's like kick your ass yoga. And he like... is so like the things he says and the way he like gets you there mentally is pretty amazing.
What about any apps? Do you have any apps that you recommend? Or like
yoga
podcasts
apps, no.
or audio?
There's a lot of YouTube stuff. My brother listens to one. He loves. I'll ask him. Gaiam has on their own channel now, G-A-I-A-M, on, I think, on Xfinity. Like a pay-per-view Gaia channel where there's all sorts of great yoga instructors. And then if you want to do like any meditations, Headspace is that app you can put on your phone. But you know, I get up every morning now. I've been doing this for over a month. I've been sticking to it and I really love it. Every morning I get up, the first thing I do, I don't look at my phone. I will not look at my phone. I will go straight out to my living room, pull out my yoga mat and my block. I'll sit on my block and just meditate, probably just for 2 minutes, not very long. And then I'll start moving very slowly and going through what my integration phase is of my yoga classes that I teach, which is really just like cat cows and like child's pose and, you know, spinal twists and just whatever feels good to wake up your body. And that really kind of sets your system for the day, like your hormones, your mind space. Like it really makes a difference in my day. And one day I didn't do it and I totally noticed a difference. So like any movement in the morning, first thing before you look at your phone, even if it's 10 minutes, is the best thing you can do for yourself. And then just pound water, and then you can look at your phone.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's an easy-ish, it sounds easy, but it's not a lot
it's
of time
not.
Out of your day. So it's a good way to stay on track. And for those of you who are planning your wedding, wedding planning is only a part of your life. Like it is going to be over soon.
Yeah.
But it's in addition to what you already have going on. It's in addition to work and friends and your social life and your relationship. On top of all of that is wedding planning. So it's hard to cram everything in.
Well, it's,
so anything
you know
you can do to like have a routine and stay centered, we are big proponents of, because
maybe
you don't want to get crazy.
Maybe I should do a quick focus and do a little like what you could do as a morning routine, especially while you're planning your wedding, because you know how it is. You wake up and all of a sudden, all the shit that you need to get done just starts running through your brain.
And as a bride, if you sent out a bunch of emails with a bunch of questions for your vendors night, and then you're going to start getting them all back in the morning. So yeah, we should do a quick focus on that.
Yeah.
And
a little meditation in there, something they can listen to. I don't know. We'll put something together.
Yeah. And so on that note, with quick focus episodes, just and to wrap this part of the episode up, we are going to do a couple quick focuses coming up because Michelle has like several back-to-back weddings and is super duper busy and traveling, and it's like crazy wedding season overload time.
The next 3 weeks, well, the last month has been like, sometimes I don't know if I'm coming or going, I'll be honest. Like, I'll be like, boom to this binder, boom to this binder, boom to this email. There, I mean, it's just like, it's wonderful. I love it. I'm blessed. I'm happy. But then it was like, my kids are like, Mom, you know, like, why weren't you here this morning when I woke up? Well, because that's the only time I can go to the gym, because if not, I won't go, you know, or like, Mom, tomorrow's picture day. Holy shit. I got to order. You know, like, I'm trying very hard to keep things organized, but it's crazy. Wedding season is crazy. So yeah, I leave on Tuesday for San Francisco. I have a Saturday wedding and a Sunday wedding. And then the following weekend, I'm going to P-Town, Provincetown, Massachusetts for another wedding. I don't have that many left, but it's like what I have. They're like, boom,
yeah, they're crammed
boom,
in.
Boom.
So the podcast will be not put on hold because we haven't missed a Wednesday drop yet.
Never, you guys.
We would never do that.
Good for us. Good for you.
But we
people.
Are going to throw a couple quick focuses in there because they're easier to record and edit and for us to promote.
Yeah.
So one that's coming up is going to be all about guest books, which is just a small element. Sometimes it's even more of like a decor element for weddings. But I will do a little like under 7 minute episode with some guest book ideas and our thoughts on that. And then we'll do another one on like ceremony scripts, just like a basic outline when you're looking at how you're going to do your ceremony. And then maybe we can throw one out there for like staying grounded, staying healthy, morning routine. And then we will circle back with some big anniversary episodes.
We like to put them out there every once in a while just because we have fun talking and chatting and like laughing and talking to guests on the show. But there's other times that you might have a certain subject that you're just like, I need to know how to do this super quick. Boom, less 10 minutes or less, we're gonna tell you exactly how to do it. So those are valuable, even though they're short, and we miss you guys.
We might not be able to do like a whole episode about, well, we could probably because we talk so much about other stuff.
But I know.
We it's hard to come up with 40 minutes of things to say about a guest book. But if you are in bride mind,
you probably could.
The guest book might be consuming you, and then you can have this 7 minutes to just like, I don't know.
Gmail or tweet us or, Facebook.
And it could be something if you want like instructional, but also if you just want to hear our opinion about an element, like what do wedding planners really think about this? Or how would this idea work? It seems like a good idea, but logistically, in your professional opinion as wedding planners, is this possible? Or what are the pros and cons? And we can just bang back a quick answer. We've responded to every email so far, which is great. And I love that we're able to do that. But also we can answer it in an episode, and then your question can help hundreds of thousands of others with their wedding questions.
Hundreds of millions how many people are listening,
multi
right?
Hundreds of thousands of downloads.
Someday
we'll have your question on it.
So,
and we have a question.
We have an email that we got this week. And, so we want to read it to you and we want to answer it. We've already emailed her, but we wanted to share this with you listening. And it also totally goes hand in hand with the wedding I just did this last weekend. So here we go. Let's go. I'm going to read it. I'm not going to say her name because we haven't asked her permission, but she's a bride. Here it is. Hi. I recently got engaged and have been listening to your podcast. I'm feeling totally overwhelmed, so I really appreciate all of your tips, stories, and professional advice. I was wondering, I really want a wedding coordinator slash planner, but I'm on a strict budget, about $10,000. My first attempt at finding someone resulted in them telling me my budget needed to be at least $50,000 for them to work with me. They said if my budget is under that amount, it isn't worth hiring a coordinator since I should just put that money towards my wedding. I'm not a very DIY person and have a full-time job, so planning overwhelms me, and hearing that response made me feel pretty hopeless since it seems like coordinators are way out of my price range. Any ideas? Do you by chance have any recommendations for a good coordinator in the San Diego area who is also somewhat affordable? Any tips are appreciated. Thank you. Let's call her, because she said, made me feel pretty hopeless.
San Diego.
Well, let's call her. Yeah, let's not do hopeless.
Hopeless,
that's so
in
negative.
San Diego.
Hopeless in San Diego. Yes, okay. That's what we're naming you. Hopeless in San Diego. Okay. Christy, thoughts, initial thoughts.
My first thought is, I don't want to defend the wedding planner that she talked to that made her feel even more anxious and hopeless, because I don't know who that was or what their tone was or how they came across. I do understand, though, and I put that in my response to her, where they're coming from in terms of looking at the overall budget. So if I were called and the bride said, I have a $10,000 budget, honestly, my first question would be like, great, for your planner? Or for your whole wedding?
Right.
And if her answer is for my whole wedding, I have $10,000 for my whole wedding, I'm not going to be like, sorry, you're shit out of luck, which it sounds like there was a little twinge of that with what they told her. At least that's the impression that she got. So I hate that any planner, you know, might have given a negative impression. But I would have responded with, you know, I don't know, I charge, let's say the minimum I would charge to be your planner is $2,000. And proportionally, you don't have $2,000 to spend on a planner.
Keyword proportionally, because
yes,
of the budget. Yes.
Proportionally. So when this planner said you need at least $50,000 for me to work with you, that came across a little bit like elitist almost. But it's, I would think what they're trying to say is you need a bigger budget in general to be able to allocate a part of that to me, because, you know, $2,000 out of $10,000, that's 20% of your budget. And for most people, 20% does not go to a wedding planner.
Yeah. And also
proportionally, we are getting less than that.
And Christy, you're not going to, I mean, we're using $2,000 as an example, but you're not going to plan a wedding for $2,000.
Right. But I could work with $2,000 if it was very, we don't know any details about this bride's wedding. So I would be open. I don't know. Let's say she's having 50 guests and it's a dinner party and it's a great venue that I've worked at before and I want to work at again, or I know the photographer. There's a million ways that wedding planners can negotiate their prices, or it's a Friday wedding, or it's a,
or it's,
you know,
a wedding
a day
of 25 guests. I mean, we don't know
how many
guests this is.
That's exactly right. Or it's just a day where I don't have another one on a month where I don't have a lot of weddings. Basically, most wedding planners are small businesses, you know, we're sole proprietorships a lot of the time. So our prices can go up and down depending what our needs are at the time. Maybe my kid wants to go to an expensive golf camp and I just got the bill for that and you call on the same day. And I'm like, well, I would usually not do a wedding for $2,000, but right now I need that money. So I will. So what all this is to say is that for a $10,000 overall budget, that planner that she talked to was probably correct in that every dollar you have to spend in that budget needs to go towards what you need to do for your wedding. And if you have money or the capability after that to maybe add a little bit of money to the budget, that's when you can look into a month of coordinator, which of course Michelle and I have requested or recommended many times. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It makes total sense. And I'm actually hesitating here, because you know what I wanted to do is I want to go and I want to look at what the average wedding cost is in San Diego, California. So I'm going to go here. I think this is the right zip code.
Yeah. And not knowing anything about your wedding, it's hard for us to estimate how much is a typical price. Michelle and I have both done weddings for this price. I did my own wedding for this overall budget.
That's a good point. I was going to say, you are not hopeless in San Diego. You are not the only person. Don't feel like there aren't others out there with a $10,000 wedding budget, because I've heard of it a lot. It's extremely rare that I'll work a wedding because of exactly what we said. You should be using that money toward your wedding. You need every cent you can to put toward your wedding. And we're going to offer some alternatives for you here, but I just want to say the average wedding in 2016 in the San Diego metropolitan area was $36,161. Okay. So that in and of itself, this wedding planner that you contacted, if she's a San Diego or he is a San Diego wedding planner, then he or she is used to working with budgets probably no lower than $50,000, because frankly, even a $36,000 wedding, average wedding in San Diego, they probably aren't hiring a full on planner. They're probably, if they can, hiring a month of coordinator. Because you need that. There's photography, there's florals,
food.
There's the food, you know, the bar, there's all these things, as you are going to soon find out, hopeless in San Diego, that cost a pretty penny, and it all adds up.
Yeah. So we have like overreaching advice, and then we have more specific advice. But the overwhelming advice that we have is you can do this even with a full-time job.
Absolutely.
Do not. You know, blow everything up because you're so anxious. You can do this, but the main word here is going to be priorities and compromise.
Very good.
Basically,
advice.
You and your partner, you have to sit down and decide what actually really matters to you, because you do have a limited budget. So that money has to go to what is important to you. If it's important to you to have 150 people there, that's probably more than, you know, your budget would comfortably allow. Mm-hmm. If that's important for you to have all 150 people there, you're going to have to cut money in several other places to, give everybody that is there a couple drinks and a couple appetizers.
Yep.
So it's all about priorities. You probably you're not going to get a full seated meal. There's ways to cut corners, as we say, but basically there's ways to cut vendors completely out at that budget. You're going to have to. So one of the more specific points of advice I had was to listen to our How to DJ Your Own Wedding episode. because while we love DJs and we think having a DJ is invaluable, especially if the DJ is an awesome MC, for your budget, you can still have dancing and have a good time if you prepare a little bit, which our episode on DIY DJ will help you do. Create your own playlist, rent some equipment, and time things out a little bit. But that might be a way to cut some money, is by not hiring a DJ and not hiring a lighting company.
And I'm actually going to say you need to not hire someone to plan this wedding for you, but rather listen to our shows. Listen from the very beginning, starting with episode number 3 firsts. You'll get some nice guidance and advice there. First things you do once you're engaged. Number 4, budget. We're going to lay it out for you there, just like what I did looking up the average cost of a wedding right now in San Diego for you, which is over $36,000. Listen to budget. That's episode number 4. Listen to guest list. Huge. Really important. Episode number 4 and 5 are like really important right now to you.
Because your budget's going to be based on proportion and percentages. And that's what we talk about in that episode. So, mm-hmm. you know, usually let's say 20% goes to decor and 50% is venue, food, and drink.
Right.
In your case, that's $5,000 for venue, food, and beverage. So what's the best way to fit that is by having a small guest count. The easiest, the number one way to cut money out of your wedding is by cutting down the guest list.
The other thing I would suggest, Hopeless in San Diego, is consider having a ceremony that's just your parents, your siblings, a different day, and then having a reception or a dinner to celebrate the wedding with dancing, because you're going to save money in florals. You're going to save money on a venue. You could just go down to City Hall. I mean, if it's a church wedding that you need to have and that's important to you, please do it. But these are just some other alternatives, some suggestions that can help you with that budget. Like, have a little simple ceremony with just the most important people in your lives, and then have a bigger dinner dancing or cocktail reception and dancing. Don't feed people, right?
Yes, like, you can have a cocktail reception at 7:30.
Exactly. Yeah. And let people know, have dinner before you come. And then we're going to have later on, we'll have some snacks coming out and we're going to have music. And you could go to go on rentmywedding.com and you can order some lighting to dress up the room, or, you know, backdrop. I mean, there's lots of ways you could do this without breaking the bank. And listen to the episode, like Christy said, about the DIY DJ. You can
and
do
still
this.
Have a really good, fun time without having a sit-down dinner. That cuts out 10 tables, 10 linens, 10 centerpieces. Mm-hmm. It cuts out a caterer having to bring food, but also having to bring plates, silverware, glasses. You're cutting all of that out if you have a cocktail party with a first dance. You can father-daughter dance. You can still have a friend announce, you know, for the first time as Mr. and Mrs. All of the little micro events that make a wedding reception more mm-hmm. than just a party, you mm-hmm. can incorporate all of that into this kind of party and save money by not feeding every single person. Yeah. Or you do it on a Friday instead of a Saturday. Usually venues have slightly, it costs slightly less to do a wedding any day but Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another option, is finding a place
even Thursday
that you could do
night.
This on Thursday, Friday, or Sunday.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's some good advice. And thank you so much for reaching out to us and for listening to the show. And good luck to you. You're going to do this and it's going to be fine. Right now it's like seems like crazy and daunting and impossible and overwhelming. But just wait till you're married and you're having fun and you're dancing with all the people that you love. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, you got this, Hopeless.
So I wanted to talk about the wedding I did just this past weekend, which is, so the bride is someone very special to me. She was one of my yoga teachers in my training. But even before I took my training, I went to her classes because she's just like, she's fucking amazing. And she is just this genuine person. And everyone at her wedding, you know, they were people who just loved them as a couple. And I know that happens at every wedding, okay? People
some
don't
weddings,
come
you can
that don't
feel
like
the
you.
Love
you can
more,
feel the
though.
Love. But so, exactly. So when she first... when I saw that she was engaged on Facebook, I'm like, hey, you know, did you know I'm a wedding planner? Do you remember? Because she's like a yoga teacher that you're like, I really love you and I wish we could be friends and hang out. But you know that most people think that about her.
Yeah. She's like, I know. I get that a lot.
No, she doesn't. That's not even her attitude. But she's just probably like, there's just no possible way I could hang out with all, you know, all these people. But so I reached out to her and I was like, listen, if you need any help, if you need any advice, and by the way, this is when we first started the podcast. And by the way, if you listen to podcasts, like I have one and it can help you. So that's how we kind of started, you know, talking. And and she's like, do you mind if I like pick your brain? Like, could I meet you somewhere and like talk to you? And I was like, oh my God, you know, like she wants to hang out with me. And I was like, yeah. And she like came to my house and I was just like, so, you know, I was like, anyway, she came over and we talked and, you know, then I was like, she's just a real person like me. And so she said, though, I said, well, what's your budget? And she goes, well, I don't know, what, like maybe $7,000 to $8,000. And I was like, you know,
78,000.
No, no. And I was just kind of like, I kept my, you know, I didn't say like, are you joking? I was just like, okay, all right. And so then, you know how we do this, right? Like, you try to paint a picture without letting people know you're really trying to tell them like, this is impossible. But I was like, so how many guests do you think you're going to have? And where do you envision this wedding being? And like, what do you see? And we probably spent an hour and a half, and then, you know, I gently explained to her the way things work. And, long story short,
but from where you're coming from, most photographers that you and I work with charge about $8,000.
A lot of them do. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why we're not like, oh, you need to spend more money. I think sometimes, I don't want anybody listening to think that, you know, we as wedding planners or wedding planners in general are just like money, money, money. It all has to be big. It's because we know what the vendors charge. So if you say, oh, I was thinking 7 to 8,000, like we love you. You love this person. You want to make it work. But in your head, you're thinking, well, that's how much just a photographer costs. Yeah. So how are we going to, what I need to know more. And you started asking questions, but I do want people listening to know, like, that's what we are thinking. We want to help you, but vendors are expensive.
Yeah.
So, and nobody's a millionaire. Nobody in the wedding industry really is like making just hand over fist money.
No.
So it's all costs.
Because remember that this is seasonal for us. This is seasonal. Yeah. This is like going to a place that just gets summer business, you know, Cape Cod, you know, where they have an X amount of months to make the majority of their money. So anyway, we spent a lot of time together, and I spent a lot of time educating her, and I ended up working with her. I mean, she hired me, but we did a lot of, she paid me some cash, and then we did some trade because I want to deepen my practice as a yoga instructor and as a person, and, you know, to have her, do private sessions with me is like very valuable, and I value her time. So we worked something out. But also she ended up spending more money on her wedding, not a lot more, but she did end up spending more money on her wedding, her and her now husband. And they are so crazy in love. Their love story, let me just tell you their love story. They knew each other from like high school. They've known each other for years. They, liked each other and then went their separate ways, would always keep in touch.
Oh, they didn't date in high school.
Nope, they wouldn't. There was times they didn't see each other for years, but there would be these letters. And, you know, she went to like, she lived in South Africa for a while. She lived in an ashram for a year. Like, she had a daughter, beautiful, beautiful girl who's 16, beautiful young lady. Their story is amazing. And after all these years, they found their way back to each other, and they're just crazy in love. So we had, let me tell you something. I have never worked harder, physically, ever worked harder at a wedding, Christy, until I did last Saturday.
I mean, that often goes hand in hand with
lower budget,
creative, lower budget.
It always does. Yeah. It always does. And I've done weddings in the years and years ago where I'm like discounted my rates huge, and I never felt great about it. And so as a rule, I don't do it anymore. I did for this, and you know what? I never worked harder, but I felt great doing it because I highly respect and feel very close to this couple. And they were the most humble, kind, grateful. There was never any stress. They were always smiling. And it obviously has a lot to do with the way they live their lives in the present, you know, yoga, all of it. But the people that came to the wedding also were exactly the same, and they were amazing. So, long story short, I worked my ass off, never worked harder at a wedding, but I loved every minute of it. And I love this couple. A couple of things. Lower budget wedding. One, huge score. Her best friend The husband of her best friend is a professional wedding photographer.
Ah, so yeah, okay. Oh, pulling strings when you have a lower budget wedding is for sure something you have to try to do.
So like, she was very fortunate in that she got an amazing photographer for nothing. I mean,
right, that was the wedding gift.
There was a wedding gift. That they live in California, so what she paid for is to fly them out and their Airbnb. That was her wedding photography budget. And he was amazing.
If you can call in some favors.
But here's the thing. Because of that, he didn't do much work on the front end. You know, he didn't have to meet with them. He didn't have to, he put together a project, a contract, because I told her, I need to have a contract. Like, it makes me nervous if we don't have a contract in place. So he put something together real quick. I created the wedding day schedule. I called him. He told me it's going to be easy. Just plan on 3 minutes per family shot. Boom, did it. You know, she had me doing that. No videographer. Catering. This was the huge, huge thing, okay? We couldn't afford a caterer. She had 130 guests. Mm-hmm. Couldn't afford a professional caterer. So my idea was food truck. She loved the idea. Bon Me food truck came out, and it was great. Now, was there long lines for the food? Yes. Were there people bussing the tables? Yeah, that was me.
I was just going to say that is such a, people forget about that with food trucks.
Yeah.
And there has to be a couple humans that are physically walking around.
They'll provide garbage receptacles by the food truck. But, yeah. You know, people are going to walk, 130 people are going to walk to their table, they're going to sit down and eat, and they're going to leave their food on the table. So yeah. I did hire additional staff for me, and we did that. Cake. Her aunt made the cake. This is something I never recommend, okay?
See, you're calling in favors.
The aunt made the cake. She wanted to do it. They have a very special relationship. She watched a YouTube video on how to make a wedding cake. And let me tell you, there were parts of the cake in the middle that were not completely cooked. Was the cake beautiful? Yes. Did we cut around those parts? Yes. Guess who cut the cake? My assistant. She had to watch a YouTube tutorial on how to cut the cake. So those of you listening, this is not something I ever do. This was in a huge extreme exception.
It was necessity.
It was necessity, and it was someone that's very dear to me, and I am going to get a lot out of it value-wise in these private sessions. But what I'm saying is, when you have a lower budget, if you know people, if you can call out favors, great. But I would highly, highly, highly recommend that you have a small guest count and you think about these things. Rentals, you know, the groom and his friends were putting out the tables and chairs the night before. The venue, luckily she has a friend who lives on the Cape with a beautiful home and a humongous yard. So they rented tent and tables and chairs. But it was very foggy. So the dance floor was wet. We had to clean off the dance floor. The groom and friends had to set up the tables and chairs. You know, there was a lot of physical labor and help from friends and family in this. Mm-hmm. But it was an amazing wedding. It was on the beach. It was gorgeous. Everybody wanted to help. It was definitely like a yoga community feel. The bride and groom never wore shoes the whole day. They were barefoot. I was wearing my Birkenstocks all day. It was the first wedding
overall,
where my feet didn't kill me, hurt.
Oh, that's amazing.
You know?
So overall, this wedding was a testament to how a small budget can work, but also how your village
has to
be open to this kind of wedding,
yep,
and embrace it. I mean, you can't have people flying in from all over the country expecting a catered meal and a sit down who are going to turn their nose up to, you know, whatever you decided on.
Yeah.
Because it's not quote unquote traditional or what they were expecting.
Yeah.
But if you have that kind of village, if these are your friends and family, then like we always say, these people are there to celebrate you.
Yeah.
So you can do it your way. This is an example of doing it your way and it being very successful.
But hire a month of coordinator, because I'm going to tell you, and they told me this many times, but if I hadn't have been there, Christy, it could have easily been a huge disaster. And so, and I'm not saying when you hire a month of coordinator that he or she is going to bust tables, because I'm probably 90% sure they won't. I'm just letting you know this. So you're going to have to hire staff or have friends or whatever. I mean, if you set it up right.
Hire some high school kids.
Yeah.
You know,
hire
anything
people.
Is better than nothing.
Yeah. But you've got to have a professional there in this capacity to run things, to organize, to make sure that the day flows.
No matter how like loosey-goosey yogi your wedding is, a wedding planner on the day is still a huge asset for keeping all of the creative choices you made flowing and going the right direction.
Yeah. So yeah, it was lovely. It was beautiful. I love this couple. Congratulations, Lauren and Tyler. And they're on their honeymoon. They've been texting me. There was like a video of when they were, oh, by the way, I was the MC as well. Mm-hmm. They were cutting their wedding cake and somebody was taking a video and I was like in the background doing something working and she's like, check out your photo bomb, I love it. And I'm like, only you would say you love me being a, you know, the photo bomb in your wedding, but in your wedding video. But yeah, it was amazing. I still am like overjoyed in my heart. Like it was just an amazing weekend, beautiful and lovely. And yeah, I'm very grateful to have been a part of it.
Good. Yes. See, you love your job.
I
even
do.
After all these years.
It's crazy. It's wonderful. I'm so blessed. We are so blessed.
Yep, we are.
All right. Well, anyway, so next week, everybody get ready for that quick focus from Christy. Think of me next weekend when you're listening because I am going to be working my ass off again.
All right.
Yeah. Happy wedding planning. Happy planning, everybody. And throw out Twitter and all that stuff, will you?
Yes, please hit us up on Twitter at TBWP Podcast. Our website is thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. We have show notes and links on the website after every show. And we're on Facebook. And our email is thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com.
Good luck, Hopeless in San Diego. Send us an update in a couple of months. Let us know what's going on. And by the way, if any of you out there, after you get married, want to send us some wedding photos of our TBWPP listeners, we would love to see your photos. And if you allow us to, we'll share them like on our social media. So please feel free to do that. That would be awesome.
Very good.
All right, lady. Have a good week. I will talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.